Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cody and I never had a legal marriage. Like, it was a spiritual marriage. And I don't know at what point our marriage is technically over, because there was no real marriage contract. Cody and I were married for 26 years. This would have been our 27th wedding anniversary. It's a long time to be with somebody. We had a lot of great times. We have wonderful kids, and we both are who we are today because of the marriage and the time that we had together, so it's not a failure.
But I realize there's no real intimacy. I mean, sex has been something that has been missing for sure, but the intimacy of the marriage, it just wasn't there.
Intimacy needs trust. Attraction, in my world, needs trust.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, Sister Wives Edition. Y'all, I mean, I know that you guys know. Typically with these reality shows, they'll hit you in the first two episodes to really hook you in. And then, you know, season or episode three and four will start to lessen in the drama and level of intrigue. I don't think we're getting that this season. I think we're going to be eating all season. And you know what? I'm going back to the buffet for seconds and thirds. Another good episode. Another good episode. God, I wish George Michael was here today to update Freedom 2022. Specifically for Christine. It would really be a real treat for me. So we start off this episode. Christine is still in Utah. She's on official late-stage baby watch with McKelty and Tony, so she's at their place just, you know, waiting for McKelty to start crowning, I guess. So she does, like, self-filmed footage in the room, and she's talking about how, where we're at now, okay? We're 6 months out from the, we're not going to be intimate anymore conversation between Christine and Cody, and Christine says, it's actually the day of their anniversary, but she does not feel like a married woman anymore. She's let go. She's done. Over it. Kaput. No mas. Okay? Donezo. It's what their, it would have been, rather, their 27th anniversary. And this man is the conductor of the manipulation train. The hat's on, and he's just going full steam ahead. He does not care who might be in his path. He's still going to keep on keeping on. So Cody fully admits to trying to manipulate everyone, us, the entire world, into having Christine and he do joint social media posts to recognize or acknowledge their anniversary. He says that it's like a little bit of a test, but it's also to protect his children. Okay, first of all, I mean, I know that there are like, you know, maybe sarcasm, no shade, but like maybe there are occasional people who'd be like, oh my God, it is Cody and Christine's 27th wedding anniversary and neither of them posted. Ooh, what is that? I mean, this isn't the Kardashians, you guys, you know? This isn't the Kardashians, but Cody seems to think so. So he's like, yeah, for our children, for my ego, Christine, can you post the social media happy anniversary thing? And she said, no. For my anniversary, for our anniversary, I'm not going to pretend anymore. Okay, so I'm not going to put up a post of us as a family looking happy, smiling in neutral colors. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So then Cody says that when Christine put her foot down about it, that was the first time he really took the fact that she wanted to leave seriously. Y'all, this has been more than a month since Christine sat him down and said, I want to be free of you. And only now, when push comes to shove with regard to appearances, does he understand that this might be an actual serious thing. But then he says, you know, I'm still trying to test her. And he starts to laugh. He starts to laugh. The closed captioning said chuckles. Chuckled. Oh, my God. He's evil. He's so evil. Then Cody says that he wants Christine to realize that the life that she's looking for isn't going to be any better than the one that she's got already. I mean, I think that may be something you're telling yourself, my guy, because hard disagree from everybody else but you. That I'm chuckling. Put the closed caption on. Kara chuckled on that one. Girl, get out of here. Just by her face alone, you can tell that her quality of life has gone up so significantly by leaving you. It's emanating from without. For those of you who has watched Teen Mom, this really clicked with me with Sean. Sean of Jade and Sean, who for the entirety of their tenure on Teen Mom, Sean has been not sober, okay? He recently went to rehab, and he seems to be consistently, like, getting on the up and up and, like, really happy and working on himself, thank God. But here's the thing. You don't realize when you only know somebody when they're using how much better they could look when they're clean. My God, the difference is palpable. You look so much better. And obviously, like, should I be comparing Cody to, you know, methamphetamine? Yeah, probably. Now that I think about it, probably. Christine's clean and it is showing. That's my point. So then Christine says in a confessional that she does not want to wear her wedding rings anymore and that they were starting to feel like a noose around her. And then Christine tells a story about how, you know, 3 months ago when they had the no more intimacy conversation and she effectively kicked him out of her bedroom, she went to her bedroom and took the rings off. And then, like, even when she's retelling the story, the relief that is coming off of her body, just, like she's sinking into herself. And she's like, you guys, it felt so good to take them off. I'm like thinking, yeah. I mean, considering my sister wife's closet, there may have been like some sort of metals leaching into your skin for the past 15 years. I don't know. That may have helped. That may have helped too. But emotionally, I'm sure it felt good. So then Christine's like, I don't really know when I can say that Cody and I's relationship was over because we were never really married legally. It was just a spiritual marriage. So I guess I can count the breakup as, you know, when I kicked his ass out of my bedroom, maybe. And then, you know, she kind of reminisces on the good times, says, hey, listen, it wasn't all bad. I was in love with this guy. We were happy. We had great kids. It wasn't all bad, and I want to, like, keep those memories. But the other side of that is there's no intimacy. It's not just that they're not, you know, it's that they're not doing this, you know, from an emotional standpoint either. You gotta, you know, to my, you know, and also to my heart. Cody again gives us his excuse, which is that he felt betrayed and he felt like there was no trust, and without trust, there's no attraction. And that's all well and good. Like, everybody would be like, I totally get that if it wasn't Cody. You know what I mean? Like, he's saying the right words, but the fact that they're from him, it's bullshit. Sure, a lot of people don't want to feel intimate with somebody that they don't trust, but you don't trust her for stupid reasons. Like, you don't trust her for reasons that exist in the realm of rational thinking. So, you know, what am I supposed to do with that statement, Cody? I don't know. Because Cody says that he basically got angry because Christine wasn't doing what he wanted. And in his words, she was ruining plural marriage for him. And so he just felt like, well, I'm not going to be intimate with you until you get this straight. So then Cody's like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been so harsh about that. Maybe I should have asked her to try and work on some things instead of casting her out into the land of misfit vaginas, never to be, excuse my language, toyed with again. You know what I mean? But also, like, this is laughable. Like, the fact that he's still ruminating on what could have been and how he could have done things differently, or maybe if I change this now, or maybe if I can get her to lie to the entire world that we're still together, maybe something will work. Christine is so far past this situation. It is laughable. Kara chuckled again. Christine says in a confessional that she's, like, ready to go. Ready to go. Like the chicks, ready to run. And all Christine's ready to do is have some fun, okay? What's all this talk about love, Cody? Oh, I feel like Christine would really love the chicks. Like, get into those first two albums. Listen to Earl, blast it high in that minivan, Christine, and just let the emotion wash over you. Please, please, please. So then, Christine's just like, I'm ready to get out to Utah. I'm ready for my life to start sooner. I'm just like ready. So Cody says in a confessional that they ended up, he and Christine, not even talking on their anniversary. And it's just, quote, sort of an affirmation that things are done. Sort of. Okay. But then he says, I'm still kind of wondering what's going on because Christine hasn't told the other wives yet. And then he just, like, shout out to the producers. Okay. One second. Shout out to these producers, because you guys, whoever is having to do these interviews, confessionals with Cody Brown, is a genius. They're asking all the right questions. You know, I don't think this would take much encouragement, but they're able to lull him into a sense of security in which he thinks that the things that he is saying about his relationship are sensical, logical, not chuckle worthy. And I appreciate you guys for doing the real work, like, because I don't know how they're able to ask these questions and hear Cody's answers and not just burst out laughing in his face. Like, you guys are really doing the real work here. So Cody's like, I just don't know if Christine's really taking this seriously because the other sister wives don't know. You know, I bet her kids know, though. Her kids. I bet her kids know, though. I bet, you know, I bet those in the rumor mill know. Okay. Who is that? Everybody else but you, Robin and her kids, and Mary. Is that the rumor mill? Because that's what it seems like. Then everybody has a video chat. The four wives, well, the three wives and Christine and Cody. And actually, the two wives, Christine and Mary and Cody. That might be the most accurate one. So they all have a video chat. Of course, Robin and Cody are together. Shocking that they could fit in the same square because of the neck or whatever. But anyway, Christine says something about how, yeah, like, we're going to be talking about the fact that the schools have opened back up and whatnot. Cody, you could see him put his hand up. Like, he has a visceral physical reaction to her, Christine's confidence and her, like, listen, we're filming a show here, right? Like, they know that they have to do this video chat. They know why they're on this video chat. The producers told them, hey, we're going to talk about, like, whether or not some of your kids are going to school now that you can do in person, right? So clearly Christine's just repeating this for the audience. And even that, Cody interprets as Christine trying to be Miss Independent and that, oh, she's trying to run this conversation. Like, you guys all know what the conversation is. She's just simply saying the words to introduce the scene. Like, he can't stand to see Christine be confident. It actually physically bothers him. It's actually really not funny. It's sick, but it's so absurd that I'm laughing. Because he says something about how, like, she's not submitting to the family, which basically means that she's not the broken woman that I'm used to her being. And now I am taking that as she feels like she's too good for everybody else. Which, honestly, I think he genuinely feels. Cody brought Christine into this family for the sole purpose of her being the peacemaker and just like the suck up and take it and smile. And now she's not doing it. And it sickens him. So we find out that Janelle is actually in North Carolina because Savannah has been doing online school, obviously. They've been planning on going to visit Maddie and Caleb for a couple months now. Cody told her she can make her choices in what she wants to do and where she wants to go, and that's why she's there, okay? Obviously, it goes without saying that Cody's reaction to Janelle traveling is so vastly different than his reaction to Christine. It's the height of hypocrisy. He basically is like, yeah, I actually kind of wish that I was there, but I'm gonna have to be there you know, by proxy through Janelle. There's no hint of anger or whatever. He's like lighthearted about the whole thing. And it's just because Janelle submits to him in whatever arbitrary way he feels, you know, strokes his ego. And so what she does is totally fine. Now, Christine doing the exact same thing is like the biggest atrocity that could ever happen to this family, and she needs to be punished. It's wild to me. And we all know, like, half of the reason is because his boyfriend-in-law, Caleb, is there, and they're like, true, girl. Like, the crush that he has on this significantly younger man, his son-in-law's, it's interesting, to say the least. Anyway, Janelle tells them that Savannah's gonna continue doing online school. She likes it. That's her vibe. Good for her, right? And obviously, we don't have to worry about Mary, Leon, a grown-ass adult. You know, we're good on that front. I can't remember if I mentioned this. Not everybody's gonna know this, so I'm just gonna tell you guys that Mary's child now goes by Leo or Leon, I believe. Uses he, him pronouns. So even though, you know, we are hearing them use Leon's former name, I'm just going to call him Leon. So then Robin actually says something pretty shocking in the fact that, like, she is able to speak about one of the older kids without throwing them under the bus. And apparently we find out that she has a great relationship with McKelty. Now, of course, we find out the reason why she has such a great relationship with McKelty is because before she and Cody got married, McKelty moved in with Robin to help with raising her children. How old was McKelty at this point? Probably not even old enough to have a legal job without a parent's permission. We're talking about, like, human trafficking here, is what I'm hearing. Like, I don't mean to be an alarmist, but moving a teenager into your home to care for your children doesn't seem legal to me. I don't know, but okay. But, of course, the real takeaway here is that Robin has a close relationship with McKelty because McKelty did what she needed her to do, which is raise her kids. That's wild. The only reason why she has a good relationship with her is because McKelty served a very significant purpose in her life, and she was able to exploit
Do they not hear what they're saying here?
So because Christine is in Utah on baby watch with McKelty, Robin is also trying to figure out how to get there. But I think her version of I'm trying to figure out how to get there is her just saying, I'm going to try and figure out how to get there, and then not actually doing it. So everybody goes around, and it's decided that basically all the kids are going to continue to do online school, except for Isabel, who is a senior, and I think this is like April, so only a couple weeks left of the school year anyway. Isabel obviously knows that she's going to be moving to North Carolina, so she wants to spend the last few weeks of school that she has with her friends. Fair enough, right? So Christine asks Cody if Isabel doing in-person school means that Cody is not going to be able to come over to the house anymore. And he's like, well, you know, I don't know, because her being in school is not like going to the grocery store. It's like, you know, it's going to be in her in a room with other people for several hours, as if we don't know how school works. But okay. I mean, just another excuse that Janelle actually tries to speak up for. She says, I just feel like, well, I guess it's up to you, Cody. But then Janelle says in a confessional that it just sucks for Isabel. It really sucks for Izzy to be in a position where she has to choose between her dad and her friends because she feels like it is ridiculous. And then this idiot Cody says in a confessional that he feels like Christine and Janelle are trying to pin him down and play like To Catch a Predator COVID hypocrisy edition on him. And he just doesn't want to say anything. So he's trying to be like a secret agent man and just be cool. Because these two bitches are trying to get you, sir. In his mind, he genuinely thinks that if he says, I would like to see Isabel in person, that they're going to be like, oh, see, you changed the rules. No, idiot. They want you to see the kid. All of your kids. Your kid wants to see you. They want you to have a relationship with your child. They're not trying to catch you in any hypocrisy. And so you're rules to just be like, I'm gonna continue to stay away from my child. Oh my god. Then of course we go back to Cody's greatest hits of him blaming Christine for traveling and saying that's the reason why he can't see his kids. And then he makes some passive aggressive comments about how, you know, if Isabel wants to see her kids, you know, everybody can do whatever they want. Like, what? Like, really? Let's get into our mind here. And think, does this teenage girl want to spend her time with her friends who like her and she's never going to see again, or stay her ass at home on the off chance that her dad might feel like coming over on a day that he doesn't feel betrayed by her mother for some stupid reason, or, you know, Solomon, I don't know, gets a hangnail or something, or God knows what. So Janelle then asks $1 million question of like, Cody, what is normal for you? Now that could be a question that we ask about every aspect of his life, but we'll just keep it to COVID at this point. At what point would the transmission rate be low enough that you feel comfortable seeing your children? When is enough? When is enough for you? Because they're going to have pretty strict COVID protocols at the school. She'll be wearing a mask. You know, at what point? Then Janelle says in a confessional that realistically, what are the chances of Cody getting COVID from one person who's being very secure? And says, listen, I know that I'm crossing the line and even asking him, but I have to stand up for the situation. The Cody tells them that he's waiting until he's sure that he can't give it to other people. And that he's not really concerned about himself, even though, you know, there are some health goals. There are some health goals that I've been wanting to achieve recently. Okay. Okay. What is this? April of 2021? I feel like I was vaccinated at that point. Get the vaccination, bro. Get the vaccination. Cody actually says that he feels like Janelle and Christine are being snotty and that he's tired of it. So then Robin says in a confessional that she can understand where Isabel's coming from, but she also feels like going back to school is really, really stupid. Okay, well, you know what? I think the fact that you don't do anything normal with your eyebrows is really stupid. Okay, I think the fact that you continue to draw attention to that huge neck of yours without seeking medical attention is stupid. I think you tying yourself to a man who is spiraling into fits of rage over his failed relationships is stupid. The fact that you continue to blame these women instead of looking at the common denominator, which is the man who's in your house, is stupid. We can all say that things are stupid, Robin. You got your stupid list and I got mine. Now, Christine tells everybody that Isabel and Gwendolyn are actually still in Flagstaff while she's up in Utah. And so Cody is like, oh, Christine, have you spoken to Isabel? Because, like, I knew she was going to school and, you know, you were supposed to set up getting a test for her or something. So have you talked to her, tried to facilitate that at all? And Christine says, no, she's got the link to get the test. She's 17 years old. She's perfectly capable of scheduling a COVID test for herself. But then Cody says in a confessional that this is just another example of Christine rejecting everything we used to do. Because normally, Christine would have set the test up so I could see Isabel while she was gone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is there like a reason why you can't do it? Is there a reason why you can't even ask Isabel? Like, you're asking Christine if she's talked to Isabel. This is all about Isabel meeting with you. So why does Christine need to be involved? If you want to see her, text her. Call her. Say, hey, sweetie, have you gotten a test so I can see you? Your mom said she's out of town. Maybe it would be unreasonable to ask the woman who's in an entirely different state trying to care for our other kid who's literally crowning at this point. You can't even ask her? Everything has to go through Christine. All of your interactions with your children have to go through Christine. In his mind. He bears no responsibility for a single thing. Not a thing. So even though it would be pretty unreasonable to have Christine do any bit of planning for this, because he's perfectly capable, Christine actually tells us that before she left, she told Isabel, hey, I think your dad might want to see you. Or actually, she told Cody, like, you know, to reach out about getting together. And he didn't. He did not text Isabel, he didn't call, he didn't do shit, so she feels like it's unreasonable for the girls to be sitting at home, testing themselves day after day on, again, the off chance that Cody might feel like coming around for 15 minutes. Robin tries to play trickster about how, I was just going to wait and see what everybody else was doing before I made a decision on my kids, but then they basically, both of them, just say that they already told Brianna and Solomon that they're going to keep them in online school so that they can be home and present with their daddy. So why she even said that is beyond me. She's such a fucking liar, Camille. You really are. What we're hearing is that Cody requested that his two children that he loves not go to school so that he can maintain a relationship with them, but he doesn't even call or text Isabel and basically says that she can do whatever the hell she wants with regard to going back to school. Christine says in a confessional that Isabel would love a call or text or anything at all, messenger pigeon, session out at Coyote Pass to chop some wood, anything at all, would be great for Isabel, but she's not getting it from him. Not from him. And she would be perfectly fine if he said, hey, I love you so much that I want you to stay home and do online school so that I can see you more consistently. So it's not even like Isabel is really choosing. It's the fact that he's not choosing that is forcing her to choose her own happiness. Because her dad's not doing a damn thing. Cody basically then calls Brianna a nerd and says that compared to Isabel, Brianna's not nearly as social, and that from his perspective, Isabel told him that she wanted to be around her friends, so he just didn't say anything else. Again, just a passive person to his own life and his own victimhood. So Janelle speaks up again and says, Cody, like, you can still see Isabel. You can go outside, you can stand 6 feet apart, and this bitch says in a confessional, well, you know, it's just kind of like, inconvenient, I mean, like, it's still cold sometimes. Like, you know, it was snowing when we started this meeting, you know? So, like, yeah, I mean, I could try and see my kids. It's just that it's, like, a little inconvenient for me, you know, and it's a little chilly, you know, just a little chilly outside. Then Cody says something about how basically to him, the younger kids are more of a priority than the older ones. And he's bitter because of what he feels like is happening to him. And then Cody says in the video chat that he just feels like the teenagers don't need him like the preteens do, like Truly does. Truly's so excited to see him. And so he's trying to foster that relationship. And Robin this whole time has been in that square, like, you know, like a ventriloquist will move the dummy's eyes back and forth, like, ooh, what's going on here? Like, ooh, this is scary. That was Robin the whole time. She dares not say anything to this man, and then she acts like a victim to him. Ugh. Mary says in a confessional, I agree with Cody that the younger kids need him, but I also agree that all of the kids need their father, and sometimes I just wonder if he realizes that. Well, you don't have to wonder. He doesn't realize that. He doesn't. So then Robin says in a confessional, you know, I don't want to criticize Cody, but, you know, I just disagree. I think the kids need their parents for the rest of their lives. And I know for a fact that some of our older kids need their dad. So at this point, Janelle realizes that this conversation is pointless. And she's like, you know what? One of Madison's kids is crying. I think I can hear something shuffling in the background. Gotta go. See ya later. And that's the end of that video chat. Christine says that after getting off that phone call, she's got more unanswered questions than answered ones. And she's wondering if the decision to go back to school is going to be all on Isabel, because that's really a lot to put on a kid. It really, really is. The choice between their father and their friends. And then we get some sad scenes with Mary. I'm just going to tell you guys. I lost my father suddenly. And unexpectedly. And so I can't talk about this. It was very triggering for me. I cannot talk about what we saw of Mary. It was just a little too close to home. So we're going to move past her in the car because I can't do it. We're just going to move on to everybody's reaction. First of all, rest in peace, Bonnie. You seemed like a very, very sweet lady that everybody really loved. But the thing that stood out to me is that everybody else had these really nice personal stories about Bonnie, like Christine talking about how when her mother left the church, Bonnie was really trying to foster a connection between Christine and her mom and be like, don't shut your mom out. And so that was really special for her. Janelle said something about how, you know, their community is kind of matriarchal. So when, you know, a wife dies, it's like a really big deal. And then Robin, which is all the only thing that I ever hear her saying is her litmus test as to who is good and bad in this family is whether or not they welcomed her into the family when she came into it. That's all she can say. Not a personal story, not like anything. Like, she was just a real sweet lady who welcomed me into the family. And that is really all it takes for Robin. I don't know. It just is so selfish to me that that's like the through line with everybody, is like whether or not they welcomed her. Did you welcome yourself into the family, Robin? Did you welcome yourself? Let's talk about it. Rest in peace, Bonnie. So then finally, over in Utah, McKelty has gone into labor. Christine has arranged to have Robin via video chat so that she can watch the whole thing. So Christine tells us at one point that the decision to not have Cody there has nothing to do with her. Her name is Bennett. She ain't in it. That was absolutely McKelty's choice. She would have been totally accommodating to Cody being there. She would have been great. Would not have been an issue. This was totally, totally McKelty's choice. So she says, McKelty says that the reason why she didn't want her dad there is because she just didn't really feel comfortable with her, you know, busting it wide open with amniotic fluid coming out of her. That's basically it. And I think that's totally fair. Then she says that she's closest in terms of the moms to her mom, Christine, and Robin, and not so much with Janelle and Mary. And listen, this is her birth. It's her first baby. She wants everything that she wants and nothing that she doesn't. And so that's why the other moms aren't there either. Her baby, her rules. And I feel you. So did you guys think it was weird when they set up the, you know, video Skype or whatever for Robin, and McKelty tells her, as she's like breathing through her contractions and all of this, like, this is a really important, probably the most important time in McKelty's life. She's about to give birth to her first baby. She's having the contractions. Everything's happening. Her placenta or whatever, something, things are softening. I don't know. Things are widening, preparing for liftoff. Okay. I know that much. And in this moment, McKelty still knew to tell Robin, hey girl, you're going to be on a video chat, aka we're filming. You should take a shower and put some clothes on. Why did she feel the need to tell her that? What's going on there, Robin? What's going on? Because if anybody in this room knows what happens at your house, it's McKelty, apparently. So she, you know, spent all those months doing child labor for you. Why would she feel the need to tell you that, Robin? Do you need to be told to take a shower? I have never been told by, like, anybody in my adult age to take a shower as if I wouldn't know to do that myself. So what's going on? Why did they, you know, they left that in for a reason. What's happening? Do you think it's because of the neck? Do you think it's like, you know, I know it's going to take her an extra 5 minutes more than anybody else to like wash, scrub and exfoliate the neck. And then it's like a whole thing trying to put a shirt on and pick out the right one, you know, because the goiter is, you know, moody. So depending on the day, who knows what's happening. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Just, you know, spray on some Bath and Body Works. We know that you've got the Victoria's Secret love spell. We think Robin's a love spell girl, don't we? Who do we think Robin is in terms of the Bath and Body Works sense? What do you think? I'm not like super well versed in Bath and Body Works. I only know from like the early 2000s era. What do we think she is? Do we think she's like the cucumber? I don't think she's a cucumber. She's definitely not a Moonlight Path, because I'm a Moonlight Path girl. And we're not like the other girls. And that's just the truth. We're more refined and mysterious. Ooh, she's got to be like the raspberry, right? Gotta be. You guys, I've since spiraled and I'm looking up the scents from the early 2000s Bath and Body Works, and I'm just gonna tell you guys which ones that I think the sister wives are. Not a single one of you asked. I'm sure if you're not interested, and I'm sure many of you are, just skip ahead like 30 seconds and I'm gonna tell you which scents I think the sister wives are. So, yeah, I'm going to give Sun Ripened Raspberry to Robin. I think I might give... Ooh, Janelle seems like a simple woman, but she also seems like she would like something more, like, woodsy. You know what I mean? So maybe there's not like two woods. I don't know. I might give Janelle like a warm vanilla sugar. She might like that. It's like a little bit, I don't know. I might give her a warm vanilla sugar. Mary, I'm going to give Freesia, just, you know, cause it's like, who goes for Freesia? And then, ooh, What would Christine be? She might be the classic. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go back and say that that Mary's Juniper Breeze. Mary's Juniper Breeze, for sure. And then I think, I think Christine might be Sweet Pea. Or the Pea Berry, or whatever it's called. Sweet Pea. Yeah, I think she might be that. Okay, I feel better now. Anyway, Christine talks about Robin's relationship with McKelty and how they just bonded when Robin first joined the family and how she'll always respect Robin for that. So another very interesting thing is that Robin keeps acting like the older kids are banded against her and they never really liked her. And now that we're seeing, they are. And just like I talked about last week, Robin saying, you know, oh, I thought we were going to be, you know, I thought I would get the full benefits of sister wives and that they would be able to help me raise my kids, even though Christine expressly got upset when Robin hired a babysitter all these years ago. Now to find out that, like, where was I going with this? Oh, that Christine actually treasures the Robin and McKelty's relationship and, like, is actively fostering it and actively making sure that Robin is seeing everything and, you know, participating in this moment. It just really calls into question all these times where Robin suggests that Christine and the other wives are actively keeping their children away from her. Like, Christine is thrilled to be doing this for Robin. So, where's the disconnect? Because it's looking to me like, despite the fact that Christine is definitely, without a doubt, jealous of Robin when she first entered the family, that jealousy was completely justified because look at where we are now. And also, Christine, even, like, through her jealousy, rose above for the sake of their kids, to have a relationship with Robin. So,
planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She's a liar. Liar, liar, neck on fire. Like, sometimes Robin would act like Christine was, like, holding all her children back with one arm and, like, trying to stab Robin with a knife with her other, like, get back! Get back, sea wench! And this could be nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. Oh, my God. So, Tony's really nervous. He's so nervous. He is scratching his feet, getting his little foot flakes all over the bed where his wife is about to give birth for the first time. And he's really going through it. Then the wives will start talking about home births versus hospital births. But Cody says that the reason why all the wives started doing home births is his mama. Apparently his mom did hospital births for all of her kids, and then suddenly when it was time for Cody to have kids, she wanted the women to do it at home. So Mary had Leon at home. Robin, I think she said, oh yeah, that she had all her kids at home except for Aurora, who was plunged into the depths of some baby pool or something like that. Christine says that she had all of her kids at home except for Truly, and she seems equally happy with both experiences. The only thing person who really was like, hell yeah, home births are like the way to go, was Janelle, who says that she had her kids half and half, and the home birth, in terms of recovery especially, was way better than the hospital, so she could not recommend it more. Tony has worked himself into a first father hysteria, and he has convinced himself that there is like a very high likelihood that he is going to drop this baby. He says, listen, babies are slippery when they come out. There's all the fluid and stuff and poop. And like, what if the baby slips? What if I just think the baby stinks and I drop her? Okay, so the producer asked Tony, do you have any sort of contingency plan to quell your fears about dropping the baby? He's like, no, just a pillow. Just a pillow and a prayer. Well, McKelty looks to be having pretty intense contractions. At one point, Tony does a barrel roll because, okay, the setup is there's the bed. McKelty's not on the bed. She's on the one side of the bed on the floor. So that's where all the action's happening. Christine's there, the midwife's there, McKelty's there on the ground. and Tony's mom. So, rather than Tony just walking around the bed to get to McKelty, he decides to yeet himself onto the bed. A full tuck and roll. Tony's a very strange person. He really, really is. Robin is on the computer telling McKelty to breathe through her nose. McKelty's like, would you say nipples? My nipples? I'm like, girl, no. I know you're going through it, but like, you know. Let's think here. That poor girl is in labor for 22 hours. 22! Before her water even begins to break. The midwife is talking about how she's 8 centimeters dilated, and we find out that 8 centimeters can quickly go to 10. Once you're in the 8 zone, things just ratchet up from there real quick, and I'm doing Kegels subconsciously as I'm watching this. Maybe I'm doing them right now. I just like, ooh, 2 centimeters, 10 centimeters in a day, 10 centimeters over the course of 22 hours just seems like a lot. But like going 2 centimeters in the matter of minutes just seems like real painful. Ooh, there's another keel. So things are really getting turned up. Robin says that even though this is Christine's baby, McKelty's also her baby, and it's just really hard to watch your baby in pain. And Christine is even going so far, like I said, to take pictures because, you know, the cameramen are not showing McKelty, you know. So they're shooting from like, so you can see everything, but, and so Christine's even taking pictures to show Robin on the computer from her phone to the computer so that Robin can know where McKelty's at physically and encourage her in kind, like really going above and beyond. She's making sure the computer can see is at the right angles, like really, really kind. So they get to pushing and it's, you know, not great because they find out that once the head gets out, Avalon's head gets out, they see that the cord is wrapped around her like 3 or 4 times, and now she's like turtling back into McKelty and out, in and out, in and out. So she's having to push real hard to make sure that they can get her shoulders out and then really get going. I mean, it seems like things were very scary, but also it was like a brief thing. It, you know, she didn't have to go to the hospital or anything like that. That baby, those cheeks, my God. What a cutie. What an absolute cutie. Avalon was born beautiful little baby. Amen. Hair like its parents, and God bless her for it. As soon as she gets out, Tony goes, "She fit inside of you? That whole thing fit inside of you?" One thing about Tony is he's going to ask a dumb question, and he will ask it with no sense of irony whatsoever. And I appreciate him for that. I do. I find him very annoying and I would not want to be around him, but I appreciate that he keeps the conversation moving, if you will. Apparently McKelty only pushed for 10 minutes, which is very good. So good for her. Christine says that she's watched two of Madison's kids be born in person, and the only difference between watching your non-biological kid be born or have a baby versus your biological kid is that she said she felt more nervous about McKelty's pain than she did for Madison. But once the babies were born, the emotions and the feelings were all the same. And, you know, God bless. God bless him for that. So now, yeah, we're in April of 2021. We're really chugging along here. I'm surprised. I fully thought we would be in January tops. So I'm super, super excited. It looks like next week, Christine gathers the other wives to tell them that she is officially leaving. I am so excited. Fingers crossed I should have a guest. I'm going to have to confirm with them right after I record this, but ooh, I'm excited, you guys. So thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. We'll be back next week. If you want to listen to me later this week, I'll be doing a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap. And things are really heating up over there. So check it out. Love you.